Let's give that to the Lord right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. Lord, you have shown out for us. Lord, now we are going to praise you, Jesus, with appreciation and thankfulness, God, for your presence and your spirit, Lord Jesus. We give honor and reverence to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. God, praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus is in this room. Amen. Amen. What an honor and privilege it is to be in his presence. Praise God. I mean, no matter what your opinion of him is, if the Trump or the president walked in here, we'd be honored to have him here because of his title alone. Praise God. But the simple fact that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is here, hallelujah, I am in awe of his presence, praise God, and I'm thankful for him. Hallelujah, it's wonderful to have all of our guests here today. God bless you. Thank you for joining with us. Hallelujah, my friend here, God bless you. One of you, and I believe you've been with us before, correct? Have you ever, you've never been here before? Then we just have kindred spirits, I bet, and praise God. Yes. Wow. Yes. Well, God bless you. That's a wonderful story. I'd love to hear all about that after service, if that's all right. Wonderful to have Dorothy. How about we put our hands together for Sister Dorothy? God bless you. Wonderful to have you with us. And my friend over here, God bless you. Good to have you and your family here. Pray that the Lord blesses you. And I tell you, I just feel word of the Lord today, if that's all right. Would you like to dive in? Hallelujah. And see what the Lord like to do? If you could, head in your Bibles to John chapter 11. Praise the Lord. I'd like to speak just what I feel in the Holy Ghost before I get into this. I'm going to keep my eyes down. I don't want anybody to think I'm looking at them, but I do believe in this place the Lord is tugging on the hearts of people who consider themselves to have been backslidden, who have walked away from their calling and anointing, and you found yourself here this morning. And I just want to be a confirmation to what you've already felt in the Spirit, that the Lord is drawing you here, drawing you into his presence, because the Lord's not through with you yet. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody can say that. The Lord's not done with me yet. Amen. Praise God. John chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, then, after that, saith Jesus to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples, hearing that, said unto him, Master, the Jews of late have sought to stone thee. How in the world are you thinking of going back there? I mean, it sounds like you're cruising for a bruising, Jesus. Hallelujah. It sounds like you're wanting to put yourself in a dangerous position. Why would we go back to a place where they have already attempted to stone you, and to hurt you, to kill you. But look what Jesus says here. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? That may seem confusing for some people. But the Jews and many of the Eastern cultures, they do separate 12-hour days instead of our 24-hour days. So that's what he's saying. Are there not 12 hours in the day? What he was trying to designate and to say is that my day has not yet come. That's what he's saying. They may try to kill me, but they're not going to be successful. Not yet. Because my 12-hour period being on this earth is not yet ended. So he says, if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. If I'm in the daytime and the light of the day, it's pretty easy to get around. He says in verse 10, and this is the verse that I'd like to emphasize, says, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Oh, I feel Jesus in this place today. Hallelujah. I believe today that there may be some people who are stumbling around in the dark, and you're wondering why you can't get your footing, why you can't find solid ground. What did David say? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Praise the Lord. What we need today is we need the light of Jesus Christ in our hearts to shine the way and to make bright the path in the night. Hallelujah. Praise God. Today I want to preach for just a little while on walking in the night. Anybody feel like maybe you've been walking in the night, walking through some hardships and a difficult time? I'm here to preach to you tonight, hallelujah, this morning, that Jesus is in this room. He's about to turn on the light. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands. Let's worship the Lord one more time. Lord Jesus, speak to this congregation. Use me to minister your word. Help me to speak clearly, Lord God, to your people. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody shout amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Jesus, don't you know, if we go back into Judea, those Jews may just finish the job. We find where Jesus, two times before John chapter 11, two times the Jews came at him with stones in their hands, desiring to kill him. In John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking to the Jews. He's telling them that they are not of their father, Abraham. Says, you are not, you don't even know what your father, Abraham, would want. For even your father, Abraham, desired to see the day that I walk the earth. Now, how do you know what Abraham would want? You're not but 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham? You speak like you have firsthand knowledge of this man, Abraham. Jesus then said something that was, in their ears, sacrilegious. It was blasphemous. He then stated in John chapter 8 and verse 58, he says, verily, verily. What that means is, listen up. What I'm about to say is something very, very important. Listen to what I say right now. He makes this statement, before Abraham was, I am. Now, this was an important statement. The reason it was blasphemous in the ears of the Jews is because Jesus was not just stating that he knew Abraham. Not only what is he stating that he was there before Abraham was there, but he was also connecting his own being to that of Jehovah who met with Moses in the burning bush. That phrase, those two words, I am, is actually the same words that the burning bush spoke to Moses when he said, who do I tell the people have called me? He said, tell them I am that I am. Hallelujah. So when Jesus spoke these words, he spoke words that had not been mentioned or uttered in many years because they had banned the name, not knowing how to truly pronounce it. It's possible the Jews in that day had never heard the true name of God because they did not know how to pronounce it. So they did not want to mispronounce it and take the name of the Lord in vain. So when Jesus stood up and broadly proclaimed before Abraham was, I am, he spoke the word that was forbidden, and he was claiming not just that he had the sonship, but he also was God manifested in the flesh and dwelling among the people. Oh, praise God. You can imagine if you were in that day to hear those words. We're the religious of the day. We're the ones who know Scripture, and we're not even willing to utter those words. And here comes Jesus, not only speaking those words, but declaring himself to be the physical manifestation of those words. Oh, I'm here to tell you, it burned in their ears. It enraged them to the point where the Bible says they took up stones to cast at him. Oh, but guess what? The day had not yet ended. The day had not yet ended. So Jesus hid himself. Now, I don't know if Jesus was just really good at hide and seek as a kid, but it seems like all of a sudden he just disappears. The Bible says he hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. But they could not lay a hand on him. This was not just a man. This was the great I am who was. Oh, somebody worship that great I am today. Hallelujah, Jesus. The second time in John chapter 10, Jesus is there in the temple, and the Jews came round about him, circled around him. They wanted to get down. Get to the bottom of this Messiah mess. So they asked him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. I mean, he did just a couple chapters before that tell him plainly who he was. You see, but they didn't have ears to hear. Anybody here Wednesday night who heard that message? Praise God. They did not have ears to hear, therefore they didn't. He wasn't saying what they wanted to hear, so they couldn't hear it. Don't sometimes we only hear what we want to hear, praise God? But Jesus told them in verse 25, he says, listen, I've already told you, and you believe not. He says, if you're not going to believe my words, at the very least, will you believe the works' sake? Won't you believe that I do what I do in my Father's name? But he says, you cannot believe it because you're not of my Father. That's pretty on its face, right? Praise God. He's being pretty bold. He tells them just directly, you're not of my Father. says, if you were of my Father, you would have believed on me. And then he makes this statement in John chapter 10 and verse 30. He says, I and my Father are one. And if you believe me and the works that I do, you would have believed I am the great I am. I am the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. And all the fullness of the Godhead dwells inside of me mightily. Listen, they didn't get angry because they thought that Jesus was just speaking of his unity. They didn't get angry because they thought that Jesus was just claiming that they were one. That wouldn't have been enough to enrage them, but they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. He was positioning himself with God, and he was declaring, I am not just a man, but I am God manifested in the flesh. So once again, they picked up stones to stone him. But the Bible says he escaped out of their hand. That's the Jesus you and I serve, amen? It was not his day. It was not his time. But to the Jews, or rather to the disciples, they could not understand this. They said to Jesus, you want to go back into Judea? Don't you remember the last two times we were there? They tried to kill you. What if we go into Judea and they're waiting for you? What if they stop questioning you this time and they go straight to stoning you? What if we go to the house of Lazarus and they're waiting there because they know that you're friends with Lazarus and he's your cousin? What if, or he's related to you, what if they're already there and they're prepared with soldiers that have swords and staves to take you? What if they do that? Oh, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there are two words that will shut down a move of God in your life in a moment. And it's those two words. What if? Everybody say it. What if? What if will shut down miracles in your life? What if will stunt your growth? What if will hinder the gospel? What if will delay revival? If we're not careful today, we will question Jesus enough to where we will completely stop what he's not wanting to do in our life. We cannot let fear take over, but we need to declare, this is the will and plan of God. I asked little Hannah if I could quote her today. Yesterday, the men had a cookout. Wasn't it great? Hallelujah. It was a blessed time of fellowship. And we had gone over to the water, just me and Brother Kavan and some of the kids, to look at the water, and we spotted an alligator. It was real cool, you know, and there were some fishermen out there. They were trying to catch it. And we were watching it, and we were just joking around and stuff. But we wanted to go back. Kavan and I wanted to go back with the other group. And we said, all right, kids, let's go. You know, let's go back. And, of course, they didn't want to. They wanted to stay there and watch the alligator get caught, right? And so they said, oh, Pastor, why do we got to go back? And jokingly, I said to them, I said, it's because I'm afraid of alligators. And they knew I was joking. But of course, then they had to start talking about fears. And one of them said, oh, well, Hannah is afraid of the dark. And Hannah said something that was so profound. And I didn't know I was going to pre-preach in it, but I felt something click when she said it. And I felt like the Lord was going to have me use it today. She said something so profound. She said, I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of what's in the dark. I said, well, hallelujah. I just got my sermon for tomorrow. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of what's in the dark. Listen, as adults, I'm not talking to children today. As adults, there's some profound words in that, right? Because as a child, we were willing to say, and maybe we thought it was the darkness that we were afraid of, but rather it was the possibilities that darkness had in it. Oh, Jesus, I feel the Holy Ghost. It wasn't actually the absence of light. It was the fact that we could not see what was in that room that made us afraid. We didn't know if there was an enemy in there, if there was a creature in there, if there was a monster in there. We could not see in it. Let me tell you, we were not afraid of the dark. We were afraid of what was in the dark. So I tell you, if we get rid of the what if, the darkness wouldn't seem so bad, now would it? Hallelujah. No, but we sit here and we question and we say, if I take this step into the darkness, then what's going to meet with me? What can I not see? And so we avoid, we get nervous, we get scared. I don't want to go to a place I've never been before or explored before. And so we cut off the move of God in our life. But can I preach to you for a moment that there's some people God are calling. He's calling you in the night. He's calling you in the darkness. And he's trying to say, there's areas you've not experienced yet. If you will just have faith. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I must work the works that he that has sent me while it is day. My 12 hours is not done yet, but the night cometh when no man can work. What he's saying is he's declaring his own position. One day, he no longer will be in the world. He will be crucified on the cross. He says this, but as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Praise God. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And it would seem like on that cross that they would have snuffed out that light. I'm sure in their minds and in the mind of even Satan himself, they believed they had snuffed out that light and forced the world to walk in a darkness that they could not see in. Hallelujah. But what they did not realize is they did not realize that Jesus had a plan all along. Because yes, one day that day would end. 1 hour that day would end. And the night would come. But he already had a plan. In John chapter 8 verse 12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What is he saying? He's saying one day the darkness will come on the earth. One day there will be a gross darkness. Night will befall you, but don't be afraid. Those who walk in the day, they do not stumble. In the night they will, but you're going to have a light inside of you. You're going to have the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. And as long as you've got the light on the inside, you'll be able to traverse the darkness. The darkness will not make you afraid. The darkness will not distract you. You will do the will of God even in the night. Oh, Jesus. John 12 even calls us the children of the light. Children of the light.
There's some people today, you're in the midst of great darkness. Brother Victor, you can go ahead. Sister Camille, if you could throw this up. I don't want anybody to get too afraid or nervous. And if we can, let's just avoid walking around a bit. Because I felt like the Lord wanted to make this a memorable service and a lesson that you'll never forget. He says today that you can hardly see in the dark, in the night. And they that walk in the night, they stumble. Thank God we got a little bit of light in here, right? I feel like there's some people today, you're living right now in this darkness. You're living right now in a place of confusion and hardship. And maybe you'd make a plan if you even knew where you were going. But when you don't know where you're going and you've never been there before, and it's dark, it's real easy to stumble and walk into things. That's why some of your kids have faced the consequences of that darkness. And your spouse has faced the consequence of trying to traverse the darkness on your own. Because when we walk in the dark, there's no way to see where we are going. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, in him, talking about Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. Look at verse 5. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says this. It says, and the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. What that means is the light shined in darkness, and the darkness could not snuff it out. The darkness could not remain, because I'm here to tell you that where light is, darkness has to flee. Turned on, praise God, then darkness cannot remain. And I want to preach to somebody in this place. The Lord is wanting to turn the light on in your life. The Lord is wanting to give you a light that cannot be comprehended. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, come on now, when I've got the light of the Holy Ghost and I've got the Spirit of God, I don't need to fear the darkness. I don't need to fear what's coming. All I need to know is that Jesus is with me. Oh, if you need Jesus right now, won't you go ahead, stand to your feet for just a moment. Worship the Lord for just a moment. Oh, go ahead, worship him for a moment. I'd like to read a verse while you're standing. I'm going to have you sit in just a minute. I'm not done. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, meaning we've got a light on the inside of us. That doesn't mean we're good, but it means there's a good light in us. And it doesn't mean we're holy, but it means there's a holiness in us. It doesn't mean we're just earthen vessels, but there's a light on the inside of us. And it is the excellency of the power of God and not of us. Look at verse 8. This needs to be somebody's theme for the next couple weeks. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Why is that? I've got a light. Somebody shout, I've got a light. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Everybody say, I got a light. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Why? I got a light. Cast down, but not destroyed. I got a light. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the light also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Listen, you might go down, the day may go, the sun may go down, but it doesn't matter what happens in your life or in your world, because that's not the only light in your world. Things don't have to be going okay for you still to be anointed. Things don't have to be going okay for you still to be blessed. Things don't have to be going okay for you to be holy. Oh, I feel it in the Holy Ghost today. God is calling some people to shine in the darkness. Oh, worship Him. Worship Him for a moment. I know it's dark. I know it's dark. But there's a light. There's a light.
I feel today like the Lord's given me a special anointing to declare. There's some people you wandered into the night. Maybe you just found yourself there. But you don't have to be without direction. And you don't have to be without aim. You've got the Holy Ghost inside of you. Let your light shine in the midst of darkness. If you needed to be seated, please be seated. I'm almost done. If you like to stand, you can stand. Hallelujah. But here's also what I feel the Lord is saying. The day Jesus died on that cross, a darkness entered into the land. It was only defended by the Holy Ghost coming inside of the hearts of the disciples and those in the upper room by the Holy Ghost. Then all of a sudden, there are a bunch of small lights, but lights nonetheless. And the world, this dark world, it will try to snuff out your light. But God's called some people to walk in the night. Hallelujah, there's some people, this is what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Sister Venetia, thank you for that missionary report today. Hallelujah. Because there's some men and women that God's called them to go into dark areas
where there's not a light, and to take that light with them. Hallelujah. And this is what I feel in the Holy Ghost. God's calling some people. Oh, I feel a witness of the Spirit today. God's calling some people. And he's saying, I need you to get your light on, because I'm calling you to areas where there is no light. I'm calling you to places where it's been night for a long time. And I need a light that's going to shine in the darkness. Jesus, he said in his parable, oh, that's all right. He There's some people you gotta get your light on. You gotta get your light on. Because the Lord is calling you to push back the darkness in your homes. The Lord's calling you to push back the darkness in your homes and in your schools and in your places of work. In that parable, Jesus told them, the master of the party, he says, there's not enough people in the party. I need you to go into the highways and the byways. He'd already reached out to all the people who were the rich, who were the famous, and they denied him. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I'm calling you to go into the dark places of your city. And I'm calling you to hunt down some people who have been sitting in darkness. And I want you to bring them into the light and share what the Lord has shared. Oh, hallelujah. He said, I'm calling you into the byways and the highways. There's some people in this place. You're only here because somebody walked into the night with their light on. Hallelujah. You're only here because somebody didn't let the night snuff out their light, and they shone even in the darkest of places. I remember hearing a story. A man of God, a preacher, he said, I was sitting there in a bar drinking my life away. He said, but in walked a man. Immediately you knew there was something different about this man. It was like a light was turned on all of a sudden in that bar. He said, this man had his Bible up on his chest. He wanted to make sure everybody knew, I might be going in the darkness, but I'm not here to join the darkness. But he turned his light on. He walked in with his Bible, and there on the bar stool, he started to witness to this man and to tell him, Jesus has more for you in your life. Brother Joseph, didn't you say you were out doing a whole bunch of stuff, acting a fool, right? And all of a sudden somebody came to you and said, have you been baptized in the name of Jesus? Oh, praise God. There's some people today, God's calling missionaries today. Oh, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. God's calling missionaries. Listen, I'm praying for some opportunities. We may have an opportunity to start preaching in the prison. Who's going to go shine the light? Who's going to go show them how good God is? Oh, let's stand to our feet. I'm done. Somebody's just got to shine your light. Maybe today you felt that light did snuffed out. Won't you come one more time and surrender your life to Christ and say, Jesus, I need your light back in me. I can't traverse this world without your light. I can't face the darkness without your light. Oh, that's right. Won't we join them right now in this altar? Let's find a place where we can come down and say, Jesus, give me that light once again, God. Help me to shine, Lord, in the darkness. Jesus, I need that light to take to my family. I need that light to take back to my children. I need that light, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. You're the reason we came to encounter your love.
I'm sorry to tell some people this, but yes, the Lord is calling you into dark places. Hallelujah. But the Lord is going to go with you, because he leads us beside the still waters, and he allows us to eat at green pastures. But he also leads us into the valley of the shadow of death. But it's because he's got you on a path for his name's sake. It's because he's got you on a path for you to shine your light.
The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love surrounds us. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done.
You're called to push back the darkness. You're called to push back the darkness. You're called to push back the darkness. In the name of Jesus.
Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love.
You are not alone. You are not alone. You don't have to do it alone. If you try to do it alone, you'll stumble. If you try to do it alone, you'll fall. If you try to do it alone, those you love for will be hurt the most. But let my light so shine in you. Let my light so shine in you.
Teach us how to live beyond ourselves. Let everything we say and do bring glory to your name and bless your heart. God, show us how to love like Holy Spirit, break us, come and over. take us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing we want more. Want more. We want more. Strip away my pride and selfishness. Take me back to my first love. I'm falling on my knees. Now I confess that you will always be enough. Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing we want more. Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing we want more. We want more. We want more. As you increase, it's all about you. It's not about me. I decrease as you increase. It's all about you. It's not about me. I decrease. As you increase, it's all about you. It's not about me. I decrease. As you increase, it's all about you. It's not about me. I decrease. As you increase, it's all about you. It's not about me. I decrease. As you increase, it's all about you. It's not about me. 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 It's all us, come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing we want more. Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing we want more. 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 Decrease as you increase. It's all about you. It's not about me. I decrease as you increase. It's all about you. It's not about me. I decrease as you increase. It's all about you. It's not about me. I decrease as you increase. It's all about you. It's not about me. I decrease as you increase. It's all about you. It's not about me. I decrease as you increase. It's all about you. It's all about. It's all about you. It's not about me. It's all about you. It's not about me. Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing we want more. We want more. We want more. We want more. Take us, you're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing we want more. Holy Spirit, break us, come and overtake us.
I don't think it's a coincidence that some of the greatest visions I've ever had were at night and in the darkness. The Lord has allowed me, and I don't say this braggingly, I say this to put faith in your heart. He's allowed me to see visions of angels. He's allowed me to speak great prophecies from things that He revealed to me in the night. Hallelujah. I believe there's an example there. And this is what I feel to say to this church. If you're in the midst of a hardship, darkness, that is a perfect opportunity for Him to reveal Himself in a deeper way in your light. Why is that? It's because the light shines brightest when it's dark. Hallelujah. So don't see the darkness as something that's going to destroy you, but it is an opportunity for the glory of God to be revealed in your life. Would you right now invite the light to shine? Lord, give me miracles, signs and wonders. Show me visions in my night. Oh, let me speak prophecies in my night. Reveal the future to me in my night. Lord, show me angels in my night. Reveal great provision in my night. Use my night as an opportunity for your glory to shine. Look, I'm not trying to just keep this going, but the Holy Ghost is doing something right now. Would you just surrender to the glory of God? Hallelujah. Whatever you got to do, just come unto His throne.